We're holding on for test summer days, 13 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah said, Chatsiach ba'orfo. Although that when it comes to a bird, you have to shech that when it comes to a bird, if you shech through only half of any of the one simonim, or by an animal, if you shech through half of both of the simonim, then the shechita is possible because you have to have roiv. Well, do you really have to have roiv or not? That's going to be the discussion here. Itmar, so there was a discussion in the Beis Medrash. Rav omer mechtzal mechtzal k'roiv. Rav says that half and half is considered like roiv. Now, since we're mentioning this in connection with Shchita, the initial assumption of the Gemara is that, in fact, that is what we're talking about, that Rav is saying when it comes to Shchita, then, in fact, you could shecht exactly half the windpipe and half the esophagus, or in the case of a bird, one or the other, and it would be kosher. How Rav deals with the Mishnah, we'll talk about in a minute. But right now, that's the assumption that's what Rav is referring to. Rav Kahana says, no, it's not. You have to have an actual majority, not exactly half. So, what's the basis of their machlokas? So, Rav Omer Mechtzal Mechtzal Kadoiv, because he says, Hochi Omer Lerachmana LaMoshe. When we consider the halachas of Shchita, as we've been learning in the last couple of dafim, were given to Moshe as part of Torah Shabbat. So what exactly does Hashem tell Moshe? Is loy tishaya ruba. Do not leave over the majority of the pipe uncut. So as long as you don't leave the majority, then you have exactly half and half, and it's fine. Whereas Rav Kahana is going to say that not. Rav Kahana is going to say no. What Hashem actually told Moshe, shchoit ruba, shech the majority of the simen and not just a half. Rashi and Tosfos explain basically that we're not actually saying the Gemara is just using this to clarify the Loshon. In other words, we know there is roiv mentioned in connection with this, and the roiv would have to be, in other words, don't leave roiv unshechted. But what we're really saying is that half is considered like roiv for that purpose. Okay, so the Gemara says simon chatzik tinig gageras pnima. These are as we often have with these simonim keywords for the next few mishnayos and braises that the Gemara is going to gima, actually not pnima. The chatzik tinig gageras gima. These are going to be keywords from four things that we're going to use to prove against Rav or against Rav Kahana. So the Gemara says tzan. Well, first of all, our mishnah chatzik echad ba'oifah chatzik ba'echad b'chesi b'behema. If you shecht one simon by a bird or one and a half by an animal, so even you're shechting through one complete simon, but now you have another half. You shechted only half of the other one. Shchita sepsula. Then we said in the mishnah of the shchita is possible. Iamet mechzal mechzal karoiv. If you tell me, Rav, that half and half is considered like roiv, am I possible? Then why should it be possible? According to Rav, it should be perfectly kosher. And the answer is, and so why should it be Harvard Le Roiv? After all, according to Rav, in effect, he did the Roiv. Because again, we're saying that Rav is only concerned about that you should not have Roiv of it unshechted, and here you have half, which is considered like Roiv. So the answer is no, Midrash Banan. The answer is that when the Mishnah is saying that it's possible, would only be Midrash Banan. And in fact, even Rashi would say so. So what would Rav do with the fact that there's such a drabbanon? Fine, he'd say it doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat from this animal. All it means is it won't have tumas neveil. As we've talked about before, that a dead animal that wasn't shechted properly is going to be in the tamei, a person who touches or carries it. So Rav's saying, given that on a derisa level, a half would be good enough, then at least now this thing is not in the tamei of a neveil. Or if it's a bird, then it's not in the tamei, a person who swallows it. But drabbanon, sure, you're not allowed to eat it. Dumal or Osala Mevid Palga, because after all, the Rabbanon were concerned. He might not even do the half that he needs to in our Torah. And therefore Midrash Rabbanon were gonna pass over for exactly half. But in our Torah, exactly half would be for sure. Okay. Omer of Ketenir, Toshma. So the Ketina says, we have Chatsi, which was the key word from this, Chatsi Echabai. The next one is Ketina, which is Rav Ketina, who's going to bring a proof from a different case like this. Another din in Hilchos Tum of a time. We know that if ovens in those days were generally made out of clay, out of earthenware, and then generally attached to the ground. Normally, things that are attached to the ground are not able to be makabel tuma, but when it comes to an oven, the Torah tells us that it can be makabel tuma, and furthermore, tells us that it's made out of earthenware, as usual, you can't be mitahar earthenware kalim in a mikra, or with part of a drum of water, or whatever. The only thing you can do, the pasuk says, yutok, you have to break it. So what happens now if you have an oven and you broke it? So the Mishnah says, Mishnah in Kalim says, Chilke l'shnayim, if you broke the oven into two pieces, v'hein shovin, and they're exactly the same size, t'mein, then both of them, shneim t'mein, then both of them are t'mein. Previously, the Mishnah says that if you break it into unequal pieces, and one is larger than the other, the smaller piece will now be tahor. It's not t'mein anymore because it was broken. But the larger piece is still considered to be an oven, therefore it's metame. But now, if you break it exactly in half, and the both of them are the same size, shneim t'mein, then both of them are t'mein, l'fishi efshol l'tzamtzim, because it's impossible to say definitively that both of them are exactly the same size. In reality, one of them is maybe microscopically bigger than the other, and therefore, you don't know. So one of them is of necessity going to be larger than the other, and you can't really tell. Tosfos points out, we're going to learn in Masechta Beforis in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about an opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Glili that says, Efshel at Samson, that there are times when two things, you have a case over there where two things happen identically, two animals are born as firstborns at the same time, and which one is the actual Beforis. Rabbi Yisrael holds that Efshel at Samson, it is possible to actually determine which one actually came out first. You don't necessarily have to say that both of them are Sufik, and that has implications in Halacha, as we will learn when we get to that, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway, the Gemara does point out over there, though, that when it comes to clay cheres, such as we're talking about over here, inevitably you break them, they're not exactly the same. They have holes, they have jagged edges or whatever. So even Rabbi Yisrael Levi is going to agree that you can't say Efshel Tzamtzim over there. And Tosfos goes into a whole lumdus about this matter of Efshel Tzamtzim and E-Efshel Tzamtzim, this whole question of various other places in Halacha, in Eruvin, and in some other places. Where you have two things happen at the same time. Did they really happen at the same time? Or was one of them a fraction of a second before the other? Or you have two things that seem to be exactly the same in size, and are they really exactly the same or not? So Tosfos gets into some lumdus on the issue of when we say Efshel at Samson and when not. In any case, the point is that the Mishnah is saying that here, the Efshel at Samson, because as Tosfos points out, practically based on the Gemara, and before us, practically speaking, an earthenware oven, inevitably, you break it in two. The two of them are really not going to be the same size because of the nature of earthenware when it breaks. Anyway, says Rav Katina, so the implication is that if you were really able to, if you could really put them under a microscope and find that they were exactly really the same size, tahurin, then it sounds like both of them would be tahur because you don't have roi. Now, according to Rav, who says that half and half, is that half is considered roi, am I tahor? And why even in that case, would it be, in that hypothetical case, why would it be tahor? Zil hocha ikar roba. No matter which way you go, you really have a roi. Because according to Rav, half is the equivalent of the whole, of most, well then each one, even if it really is, down to the atomic level, exactly half and half, nevertheless, according to Rav, each one should be considered a roi. So both of them should be tahor. And Tosfos in the course of this discussion about Roy and everything, so Tosfos points out, in other words, that the point is, in other words, what has the chashivos of Roy? So by Shitta, we're saying that Rab considers that the half of the simon is considered to have the chashivos of all of it. Whereas by the Kliferis, we would say that half of it is considered to have the chashivos of the whole thing, and therefore both of them should be jumping. The answer is Amar Papa. So Papa, that's not a problem. Shrei Ruby, v'chad mona lechem. You can't really speak of two roids within one cave. Because after all, then it would be self-contradictory. If one of them is the roid, necessarily the other one can't be. So here you're saying you have two pieces that really are exactly the same size, hypothetically, because again, in reality, with a cliferous, you're never going to have that. But hypothetically, if you were actually able to measure them down to the atomic level and find they really are the same size, you can't very well say, well, halachically, we have to consider one of them the majority. We'd also have to consider the other one the majority then, and that doesn't work, because then it adds up to more than 100%. So therefore, of necessity, one of them is going to have to be considered the majority and the other one the minority, and we don't know which one is which. But when it comes to shkita, all you have to have a roi that was cut. We don't care how much was uncut. So therefore, if we say that half of it is cut, and that's the equivalent of most of it, there's nothing contradicting it, because the half fact of the other half is intact doesn't contradict that. So therefore, there's no proof from that Mishnah and Rakhtina's inference from it against Rav. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Here's another proof. The Mishnah says later in our parak, shochach chatzi eretz, Bryce actually, shochach chatzi gageres, if he shechted half of the windpipe, the shahaba kadesh shchita acheres, and he paused long enough time for another shchita to take place, which we're going to learn later on in our parak about the dinim of shihiyah, the pause during shchita that invalidates a shchita, the gomra, and then he finishes it, shchitasik shera, then it's still kosher. We brought this braisa before in connection with the question of how much of the, when it comes to birds, whether you have to, which simon you have to shecht, but here we're bringing it in a different context. We're saying, in other words, that, you shechted only half, even though you did shihiyah, and then finished, nevertheless, the shchita will be kosher, because shechting through half the windpipe is not yet a shchita. So therefore, in effect, the shchita process hasn't started yet. Now, the Yamat Nechzal Nechzal Kerov, if you're going to say, Rav, that half and half is considered like Roiv, it's your fault, then it comes out at this point, it's become Treif, because you've done a Shchita of half of one of the pipes, and then you did Shihiyah, then you pause, so now you, according to Rav, half of a pipe is already considered like a Roiv, so therefore you really have done part of the Shchita. In the case of Brood, okay, you would have done the whole Shchita, so therefore Shuhiyah at that point doesn't really matter, but for an animal, in other words, you're still in the middle of the process of the Shchita, and you really have started the Shchita process, because according to that, half of it is already considered part of the Shchita process. So the Gemara answers, Misavrit to the Behema. You're thinking that Braisa is talking about an animal, where you need to cut both pipes. But if it's talking only about a bird, so therefore you cut half of one pipe, and therefore so now you're good, Mimonashra, because after all, either way, if you say that half and half is considered like the roiv, then okay, you've done the roiv and you've done a kosher shchita, because for a bird you only need one simon. And if half and half is not considered like roiv, then you haven't done anything yet anyhow, which is part of the shchita, because you haven't actually started the process of shchita yet, and therefore the braisa is saying either way it's good. So yes, if the braisa is talking about animals, it wouldn't work. But if we say that it's talking about, birds, then it works just fine. Okay. Different girsa. The Rashba has a girsa. It's not a problem. Holy shah, beruba de gageres. After all, he didn't do shahia after cutting through most of the windpipe, and therefore we're good. The Gemara says Toshma. I'll have to bring another proof against that. Suppose that this braisa we also brought in the earlier sugya. Suppose that half of the windpipe was pogum, was damaged and has a hole in it. If now he added a little bit, he cut through a little more the gomra and he completed it, then it's a kosher shchita, because again, the fact that it was partially damaged up to half is not enough to pass all the bird, because like we said, there can be holes in the windpipe up to half, and the bird or the animal is still caution. Now again, the Yamat Nechzal Nechzal for Roiv, if you say that half and half is considered like Roiv, Treifa Havya, then shouldn't it be a Treifa? Because again, half of it being damaged, half of it having a hole, should be considered by Rav's logic like the majority, and once you have the majority of the windpipe is damaged, then the animal or the bird is Treifa. The answer is Amar Rav Shaini Le Inin Treifa, Yib Inin Roiv An Nir Le Naim. It's different by Treifa because there you actually have to have a visible majority. So in other words, by Treifa, it's true that we wouldn't just say that if it's exactly half, then the animal or the bird is Treifa. In order for the creature to be Treifa, we do actually need a real Roiv. We really do need a real Roiv. So does it actually mean, the Gemara's expression, Roiv Hanir Lainayim, that means that in places where you need Roiv, it has to be, so we're saying it has to be visible to the eye, so does that mean it can be even a little bit over 50%, as long as it's recognizable, or does it actually mean that it has to be significantly more than 50% in order to be considered Roiv for that purpose? Okay, so by Treifa, in fact, you do need Roiv Hanir Lainayim, but by Shchita, you don't. Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says, what's the logic? The way called the Chenu, isn't it a Kabbalah? Shouldn't it be a Kabbalah Chomer to the contrary? Umat Shefa, the Mashahu Mitzvah. Madach, when it comes to a Shefa, where with certain internal organs, if there's even a small hole in them, Mitzvah, then the creature becomes Shefa, as we're going to learn in the next Pedek. You have the esophagus is one, you have a number of different internal organs where even a small hole in them makes them Shefa. Heifa, the Be'in and Ruba, but you're telling me that in a case like the windpipe, where it has to be roiv in order to be chafed, but in and roiv on nirlei naim. You're telling me that you should need. So Abaya goes like this: umat chafer dimamashu mitzrafa madach with you have organs where even a small amount of even a small hole makes them chafe, and yet chafer the in and ruba in and roiv on nirlei naim. And yet you're telling me that in a case of roiv like this matter of the windpipe, you're saying it would actually have to be more than 50%. It would have to be significantly more. Well then, by that logic, shchita to have the ikar ruba lemiskasha. Well then, we definitely need roiv, because after all, Rav is saying that half is considered la halacha like roiv, but he agrees you have a concept of requiring roiv. So like kosher can be in and roiv on nirlei naim. How much more so then that should require that you need a visible majority? So what are you telling me that by shchita it's fine to have exactly 50% according to that, but by treifas you would say that you actually have to have more than 50%? What's the law there? So the Gemara says you're right. Ever the kula alma mechza mechza ainak roiv. You want to know? You know what? When Rav said that mechza mechza is considered like roiv, in fact he wasn't talking about shchita at all. So our initial assumption that we brought in this machloikas of Rav and Rav Kahana here in Chulin in connection with Shchita was actually, it doesn't really belong over here. V'chi itma to Rav and Rav Kahana, written in Pesach. When was Rav and Rav Kahana's machloikas said about whether half is considered like the majority is actually as far as the Pesach, as far as the Korban Pesach. Tosfos also discusses, like we said before, this question in various places in halacha. We have this question of whether Eshul Tzamtzim or not, and we do in fact find a case in Eruvin where we say that exactly half and half is mutter. So Tosfos says maybe there's a difference between there might be a difference between different types of Isurim, there might be a difference between Isur and Tumah versus Mechitzas. You could say maybe a Mechitza exactly half is enough. In any case, but now, when it comes to Shchita, in fact, Rav never said that half would be considered like the majority. Absolutely, Rav holds you need to have a majority, and therefore we don't need to, now when we have these four things that we brought, these four questions that we brought against Rav, then we don't have to be doichik and say that one, that they're talking only about a bird, or that it's only drabbanan, etc. We can say that it means even on a daraisa level, and it means by animals or by birds. So what it means, even Pesach, the Machlokas, Rav and Rav Kahana was actually as far as the Korban Pesach. We know that the Korban Pesach, if most of the Tzibur is Tomei, then they bring the Korban Pesach anyway. We know that if most of the Tzibur is Tohar, then they bring the Korban Pesach, and the Tmeim go for Pesach Sheni. So you have like this. Harei Shoyizu, Mechzat Tohar, and Mechzat Tmeim. What if the Jewish people are exactly half and half? Half of them are Tomei, half of them are Tohar, half of them are Tomei. So what do? We bring the Pesach, the Tumah, and then there's no Pesach Sheni that year, or do we bring it the Tahar, do only the Tohar and bring it the Tara, and the Tmeim bring it Pesach Sheni? So now you have Rav Olam Mechzat Mechzat Tohar. Here's where Rav says that half and half will be considered like roiv, and therefore, so now what will actually happen is the tmeim and the tahorim will actually bring separate korbanos pesach. The tahorim will gather together in the Beis Hamikdash and bring their korban pesach, and the tmeim will have a separate group where also they will bring their korban pesach. So that year there won't be pesach sheni. Rav Kahana says half and half is not considered like roiv, so rather the Tehorim will make Pesach Rishon, but the Tneim are going to be making Pesach Sheni. There's discussion in the Sefer Psachim about this, about what Rav and Rav Kahana mean, what is done in these two cases. There's another version. The Gemara says over there about what Rav Kahana says. The question is Rav Kahana saying that it really is considered exactly half, but not a majority. So therefore, we don't apply the rule that the majority can make Pesach the Tumah. Necessarily, they're pushed off the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara gives another version over there that according to Rav Kahana, the Tmeim are not going to be able to make a Korban Pesach at all because only a roiv can make it to Tumah, and only a miut can go to Pesach Sheni, and here you have neither. In any case, the point is that that's where Rav and Rav Kahana said their machloikas about whether Mechza counts as roiv or not. Well, the Gemara says, "V'hosam my time in the Rab." Well, why does Rab say there that half should be considered like a majority? And the reason is, "Dichtiv ish ish tiyia tomei v'nefesh." The pasuk says, "Any person, if he will be tomei by a soul," from which we learn, "Ish nitcha ve'in sibu nitchin." We learn from that that only individuals are pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but not the roiv. So now, Rab is going to say that it's true that half is not considered a roiv, but nevertheless, they're not yichidim anymore either. So therefore, they can't be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Therefore, Rab learns necessarily they have to be making Pesach Rishon. But that's where Rav had said that half is considered like the majority. This is in next week's parasha, Beis Hashem. If we were in Eretz Yisrael, this would be this week's parasha because there's a parasha ahead of us currently. But right now, for us chutznitz, this will be in next week's parasha. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Roi v'echad ba'oif," that if you do most of one simon by a bird or most of the two of them by a behemah, then the shita is kosher. So the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that? Tanena chod is in there. Where we learned that previously in the Mishnah, "Ruba shalachad kamoyu," we said that the majority of each simon is considered like all of it. So it's clear already that if you shech the majority of one simon by a bird or the majority of both of them by an animal, it's kosher. Why is the Mishnah repeating itself? Hachash Pashach Simon. So again, the Gemara gives us a Simon, this time for the initials of the Amorim who are going to give answers for this. Hachash stands for Rebbe, stands for Rebbe Hoshia, and then the Shin later on stands for Rebbe Kahana and Rebbe Shimi Ba'ashi, and so forth. So first, the answer is the two parts of the Mishnah. One is telling us that this din applies to Cholin, and the other one tells us that it applies equally well to Kodshin. And we need to know by both of them. We wouldn't have been able to derive one from the other. If the Mishnah had only told us that applies to Cholin, you would say, Hosam would disaggregate the Ruba. You know why? It's enough to cut through the majority of one type. After all, you don't need the blood. Whether the blood comes out or not doesn't matter so much to you. Later on, you'll cut up the animal and salted or roasted anyway. So therefore, who cares whether you cut through enough for blood to come out? Abel Kodshim, but when it comes to Kodshim, after all, you need the blood because you need to sprinkle it on the Mizdeah. Emo Leitiskele Beruba, maybe it's not enough to do Roy. Ad the Ikakule, maybe you need to do the entire Sinan. So we need to be told that by Kodshim also it's enough if you only do the majority of the Sinan. The Yashmin and Kodshim, conversely, if the Mishnah only told us that this applies to Kodshim, you would say, precisely there, you have to shech the majority of the simen because, as we said, you need the blood. But when it comes to cholin, we don't really need the blood. Maybe indeed, exactly half would be enough. Maybe, in other words, when the Mishnah says that, when the Mishnah is saying that half of one by a brood or one and a half by an animal would be possible, maybe indeed that would be talking specifically about Kodshim. But by Cholin, maybe exactly half would be enough because you don't need the block from Ashman alone. Therefore, the Mishnah needs to tell us that both by Cholin and by Kodshim, you need the majority. This that was saying that it's enough by Kodshim to do the majority, one practical case where this comes up is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol has to do pretty much the entire Avodah on Yom Kippur, and that includes not only the special Korbanos of Yom Kippur, he also has to do the Korban Tobit that day, for example. Now, that means he has to shecht it as well. The problem is he also has to do the Kabbalah. He has to receive the blood in the basin. How is he going to do that? So the Mishnah says that he does the majority, he does enough of the shechita to be kosher. Krotzer, the Gemara calls it over, the Mishnah calls it over there, like he cuts through, and then somebody else finishes off the shechita, and then meanwhile he grabs the mizra to be able to catch the blood. The Pashtos, I guess we do this with all the Korbanos, he shechts that day. So the point is, in other words, he shechts through enough for it to be a kosher shechita, and now at that point somebody else can take over. So he doesn't shecht through the entire two pipes, just the majority of both of them. So there's a practical example where we see, and that's considered a full avodah, and now when the other guy does it, it's called only mechatech bosa ba'alma, he's in effect just cutting dead meat, and that's fine, and the Kohen Gadol can do the zrika and continue from there. So that's one answer then, Rav Hoshi, that the Mishnah is talking about cholin versus kodshi. Well, hey, b'cholin, behei b'kodshim. Well, the question then becomes, which part of the Mishnah is referring to cholin versus which one is referring to kodshim? Now, what's a nafkamina? Rishonim points out, Rabbi Huda is saying in the Reisha that you have to shech the veridim. You have to shech some of the blood vessels, like we talked about there, like we talked about previously, the arteries, veins, whatever they are exactly. And by the way, elsewhere, even though usually we would think now, Allah is not like the Yehuda. There's a Dasi Yafet, there's a different Gemara where one of the Chachamim says to his children, be careful to cut through the forbidden, like Rabbi Yehuda says. So we do follow Rabbi Yehuda in that. By bird, we should cut through or at least pierce or whatever the forbidden by the Shvita, like we learned yesterday. So now, if we say that the Reisha is talking about Kodshim, then Rabbi Yehuda would require that only by Kodshim and not by Cholin. If you say the Reisha is Cholin, then Rabbi Yehuda would require it by Cholin as well. And then you have also the Mishnah goes on with other cases. The next Mishnah is going to sort of the next few Mishnayos are going to talk about different dinim of Shita that do those apply only to Kodshim or also to Cholin. We'll get into that. So we need to know which is which. Amr of Kahana, so if Kahana says he's the chof of the sin and hey chof shin, so he's the chof of it. It's more logical to say that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about Cholin when it first says that Ruba Shalachan Kamayu, that the majority of any one pipe is considered like the whole thing, more logically that's talking about Cholin, and the Sefer, the part that we're dealing with now, when it says Roy Becha Ba'ofer, Roy Shnaim Behema, more logically that's referring to Kodshin. Why? Mimai, who says, because the Mishnah had started by saying, if he shefts, which as we said at the beginning of the parak, implies that we're talking about a b'dievet situation. Well, never mind that, actually, says Rav Kahana. If that's a filler of b'dievet, why are we using the word hashoifet? If the Reisha is talking about kodshim, and you don't shech birds. Hamolik, mibarvai, then should say hamolik, echad ba'oif would be kosher, because you don't kill them with shinta. So you must say, LMI, Sefer for Kodshim. So what are you going to tell me then? The Reisha is talking about Fulman and the Sefer is talking about Kodshim. No, because it says Shchitosik Sheira. It continues and says his Shvita is Kodshim. Again, if you're going to say it's talking about Kodshim, Milikosik Sheira in Bodhile would have to say Milikosik Sheira. So medium part of the Mishnah seems to be talking about Kodshim. Okay, the Gemara says, holy cash, that's not a big problem. I even sold it to the Mibahema because the Tana has just finished talking about animals, where they, by definition, of course, you shchita. Tananami shchitasek shera, therefore it says shchitasek to continue in that vein. El Reisha, but in the Reisha, mechti al oif kori, after all, we're obviously talking about bird, because the Mishnah starts by saying, Ashokat echad ba'oif. Isakudat the kodshim, I'm more looking for you. So there's no reason that it should say Ashokat if the next words in the Mishnah are going to be about a bird. So therefore, if it was about kodshim, really it should have to say I'm more looking. In addition, also, it means, in other words, that then in the Reisha, when Rabbi Yehuda mentions this part about the religion, then it would be like we learned yesterday that it means dafka by a bird because they're often roasted whole. Okay, so there's a proof that in fact the Reisha is talking about, so Rav Toshia says one part of the Mishnah is talking about Kodshim, the other one about Cholin, which is which. Rav Kahana clarifies for us from the wording of the Mishnah that it must be first it's talking about Cholin, and then it repeats the point by Kodshim. Again, like we said, so we shouldn't think that by Kodshim you need more than Roy because you need to extract as much of the blood as possible. Okay. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi gives a different answer, or a different proof, that in fact it is so, that the Reisha is talking about Cholin and the Sefer about Kodshim. Reisha b'Cholin me'hafa, the fact that the Reisha is talking about Cholin, we can derive as follows. Because only Echad Ba'oif, because it says, you only have to cut one simen by a bird. Now, if you were going to say that part of the Mishnah, it's talking about Kodshim, how you can oil us the oif to borrow Shneisim on him. After all, you can't, as a blanket statement, say that by a bird you only ever need one simon. That would be true of a Chafas oif, but an oil us the oif, as we learned before, you do have to cut through both simon him. So necessarily, the ratio of the Mishnah must be talking about Cholin, where always one simon is enough. By Kodshim, sometimes one simon will be enough, sometimes two, depending on what kind of korban it is. So the Gemara says, El amai, Sefer b'Kodshim. So what are you going to tell me then? The Sefer of the Mishnah is talking about Kodshim. What do you mean? It also says, Roiv Echad Ba'oif. It also says the majority of one simon by a bird. And again, Ha'ika Ola Sa'oif, the boy Shnei Simonim. By your logic, there also, by an Ola Sa'oif, you require both Simonim. So you can't say, so if you're going to say that the Reisha is not talking about Kodshim because it refers to one simon, and that's not a blanket statement, then in a Sefer, it wouldn't work either. So, So the Gemara says again, that's not such a problem. My roiv echad, roiv kol echad ve'echad. No, because in the Sefer, when it says roiv echad ve'oif, it actually means most of each of the two pipes. In other words, it's true. The Mishnah would be implying. So you're saying that roiv echad ve'oif. But here it doesn't mean anymore the majority of one simen. It means the majority of any one simen. Within any one simen, as long as you cut through the majority, it's considered like all of it. Over dinhu, the listening, roiv shnayim. In fact, the Mishnah should have said the word roiv shnayim then, because after all, by an erva so'if, you need the majority of two simonim, but it can't. Given the ikachatas, the sagile v'chad simon, because if I care, if you have a chatas, where one simon is good enough, so we can't say as a blanket statement, always you need two, mishamachel psikolai, so you can't say as a definitive thing, roiv shnayim, so therefore he says roiv echad, which can be understood in two different senses. It can mean roiv echad, literally the majority of one pipe is enough, or it can mean the majority of each of the pipes. So the Shimon Ba'ashi's proof holds true, and therefore we can say that, the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about full in, and the Sefer is talking about by Kodshim. You should know it also works to cut through the majority. And the majority of what? By a Chatas Oif would be enough. The majority of one, by an Olas Oif, the majority of two. Okay. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa says, here's the pay of our simon before, Pashach. So Rapapa Amar, here's another proof. Ratio of Cholin Mehocha. The fact that the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about Cholin, we get from here, the Totani, because the ratio had mentioned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about the Veridin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, actually, you should test the Veridin. Or play your Rabban Alayim, see the Chum disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that it's enough to cut the Simonim. E Amit Bishleimach Becholin, if you say that it's talking about Cholin, then sure, we understand. Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to pierce or cut the Veridin in order to get out the blood shaper. And we understand the Chum say you don't need to do that. It's fine. Later on, you'll do it. But if it was talking about Kodshim, I might play Rabban Alei. Why would the Chachamim be disagreeing? Who asked me the Dam Hutzarech? After all, you do need the blood. You need to squeeze out, squirt out the blood on the Mizbeach, depending on whether it's a Chatas Oif or an Olas Oif. And the fact is that you do have to receive as much of the blood as possible. So therefore, you can't say that you should be doing it in a way where you're not going to get out very much of the blood. So why would the Chachamim say that you shouldn't be piercing through the Veridin as well? So in other words, Mela the Chachamim might say, fine, if you didn't check the Veridin, then fine. But at least the Chachamim should be saying that you have to cut through the Veridin as well in order to get as much blood out of the bird as possible on the Mizbeach. So therefore, that's another proof that the Reisha is talking Dafka about Chola. Rav Ashi Yomar, Rav Ashi says, he was the Shin of Peshach before. Until now, we've been bringing proofs. Rav Kahana and Rav Shimon Ba'ashi and Rav Papa have all been bringing proofs that the Reisha is talking about Cholin. Now Rav Ashi is going to go the other way around. Sefer B'Kodshin Mehocha. I agree that the Reisha is talking about Cholin and the Sefer about Kodshin, but I'm going to bring a proof. Till now, we've been bringing proofs from the language of the Mishnah that the Reisha is talking about Cholin. Now I'm going to bring a proof from the Sefer that necessarily that part is talking about Kodshin. Dikotani, because the Mishnah continues. The next Mishnah is going to say, if a person shechts the two heads of two animals at the same time, then it's shlita is kosher. In other words, he has a long enough knife where he has two animals standing neck to neck and he shechts both heads, so then it's fine. Now, hashoichet di'evid ein lachatziloloi. Now, when it says hashoichet, then as usual, that means only with the evid, only lachatzil. Now, if you're talking about Kodshim, then we understand why Lachatzila, you shouldn't be doing it. Vishim the Tony Rabbi Yosef, because of what Rabbi Yosef teaches in a Braisim. The Pasuk says about Korbanos, he's Bahu, you should shecht it. So Tizbahu basically breaks down to Tizbahu, you should shecht it. So from that we learn, So we learn like this. Tony Rabbi Yosef, tizbach, the base word tizbach, which is in singular, means shlo yushnayim shechtin zevachecha. You can't have two people together shechting one korban. Tizbachu, and when it says you should shecht it, that the other way around also, you shouldn't have one person shechting two korbanos at the same time. But Amar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana explains the reason behind that drasha is tizbachuhu ksiv, because in the Torah, the word tizbachuhu, it doesn't have a shorter after the ches, which in that case, unequivocally, we would have to read it as tizbachuhu, you plural should accept it, and then we'd say that two people could. But no, because it's written in the Torah without the vav after the ches, therefore we can read as if it said tizbachuhu, you singular should accept it. See, because it is what it says on the pasuk. So therefore, we can learn from that you singular should shech the korban and not two people together. You do have a halakas in various places in Shas about whether yesh in mikra, yesh in hasardas. Do we follow the way it's written in the Sefer Torah? Do we follow in drushas the way that it's actually read? So the Ramban points out that this machlokas have nothing to do with that, because when the Torah says tizbachu, doesn't necessarily have to mean that two people should shech the leader. Tizbachu, you plural should shech every korban individually. After all, many mitzvahs are said in plural. So there's no stira between the mikra and the masoras. When we say yesh en mikra, yesh en masoras, is when they contradict, when they seemingly contradict one another, and we have to pick which one we're going to follow. But over here, there's no actual contradiction. In addition, the Rashba points out also that the pasuk begins in plural, and then you have two words back to back. We're referring to chem, tis v'chul, for your goodwill, it should be you should check it. So the Rishon Chem is in plural. Tizbachuhu, without the vav, is read tizbachuhu. And therefore, the Torah by that is hinting that it means that it's all of you bring korbanos, but each korban is shechted by only one person. So now, if you say that the Mishnah, that the next Mishnah is to, and again, the next Mishnah is a continuation of this one, so therefore we should assume that it's continuing in the same vein. If the Sefer of our Mishnah is talking about Todshim, and therefore the next Mishnah is also talking about Todshim, then we understand why the Mishnah is implying that you should only do this with the Yevon. Because by korbanos, you should not have two people shechting together. Fine, maybe it was possible with korban, but you shouldn't be doing it with chila because of this pasuk. Eli yamet b'cholin, after the chilin ami, but if it's cholin, after all, even the chila, you're allowed to put two animals neck to neck and shech them. There'd be no reason for the Mishnah to phrase in the word hashtoichet. Okay. So that's a proof. Rav Ashi says that in fact the Sefer of our Mishnah is talking about Kodshim, and therefore continuing with it, the next Mishnah on Lamed Amud Beis is also therefore talking about Kodshim and not about Cholim. Okay, so we've gone through five of the six letters in the Simen over here. We're actually missing the Ches over here. So one explanation is that the ches actually stands for that the Rav Hoshi's original answer had been chodah b'cholin, but chodah b'kodshim, one of them is talking about cholin and one kodshim. So in other words, the simon would be, you have the hay for Hoshia, the chof shin pei shin stands for letters from the names of the four amiroyim who explain Rav Hoshi's proof, and the ches would be, what are they all coming to prove? This fact that chodah b'cholin, chodah b'kodshim. I mentioned previously in this sphere, he likes to give explanations of the Kabbalah of what the Simonim are doing in the Gemara. So here also he has an explanation about the shkita has to do with sweetening the gvuros, and he goes on to talk about that shin, the shin chof gvuros, and then 320 levels of 320 tzotzis, and so on and so forth, and he goes on to explain what the simon is doing over here. And then he explains that's what the chof shin is doing over here, and he explains the rest of it in that vein also. The word poshach literally means to break up, referring to these mitzotas that have broken up and scattered in the world, and we have to reunite them. Fine. The Gemara says, you should know that Rish Lakish also holds that in our Mishnah, the Risha is talking about Chulin, and the Sefer, when it repeats the point about Rav Echad and Rav Shnayim, is talking about Kodshim. And again, like we said before, we need both of them because there's a Peter who takes one over the other. If the Mishnah already tells us in earlier on that most of any simon is considered like the entire simon, lama shenina, roi v'chaboy, for roi shenayim v'behema, then why does the Mishnah have to go on to say most of one by a bird or most of two by an animus? And the reason is, l'fisha shemninu, because we learn in Masechta Yoma, like we were talking about a few minutes ago, about the Kohen Gadol shechting his korban, I mean kippur, heviu loy et a tamid, they brought the Kohen Gadol, the korban tamid, k'rotzoi, he cuts through the majority of the simanim, u'merech achash shchita say al yodoy, and somebody else completes the shchita for him, so that way again the Kohen Gadol has his hands free to be able to take the Mizrach and receive the blood. So says Rish Lakish, you look at the implication of that Mishnah. Yochol le Meirach yehi posel. You would think if somebody else did not complete cutting through the simonim, maybe the korban should be posel. So and meaning in other words by kodshim, it wouldn't be enough to do roiv. You have to eat the entire simon. L'chachshanim and roiv l'atavoy for roiv shnayim behema. That is why on Mishnah. Clarifies by saying that the majority of a simen by a brood, the majority of both by an animal is kosher, and that's talking about kodshim, and therefore even by kodshim it is kosher. So as a practical matter, another koyan, or anybody actually, because shchita of korbanos is kshedah by anybody, so as a practical matter, somebody else would complete the shchita, so that we said before, we get as much blood out as possible, and the koyan can do the zrika and everything that he needs to do. Okay? But nevertheless, even if somebody had not done that, our mission is saying it would still be kosher. Okay. Well, let's analyze what Rish Lakish is saying. So, Omamar, Yochol and Meirach Yehid Fossil, you would think that if somebody else doesn't complete the Shchita, then it would be Fossil. So the question is, how is that even possible to think that way? Ibn Kain, Havalei Avodah B'Akher. In effect, then, if you were to say the Havan, then it would be that it was possible unless you do the Shchita of the entire Simon, and therefore we need our Mishnah to tell you that not. And if you didn't have our Mishnah, if you didn't, Rashi, by the way, points out another reason over here why mitzvah. Well, actually, we'll say in a second. So you have the avodah ba'achar. In effect, you have somebody else doing the avodah because according to that way of looking at it, according to that havah, I mean, we would say unless you agree the entire simon, then the avodah has not been accomplished. V'tanya kol avodah yom kippur ein kshiras elabay. And we learn that all the avodahs of yom kippur are kosher only when they're done by the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, anything that's required for the shchita has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Doesn't that itself, the very fact that somebody else can finish it, doesn't that itself prove from that very Mishnah itself that most of the simon is considered like all of it? Why do we need the implication from our Mishnah? And why does Rish Lakish have to say that we wouldn't have known that without our Mishnah? For that matter, Tosfos points out that again, you would also have, we just said by Kodshim, you're supposed to have one person shechting, not two, if cutting through the entire simonim was required for the shchita. Hypothetically, without our Mishnah, then you also couldn't have somebody else finish it, because then that would be two people, Shecht and Kodshi. And you're not even going to distinguish between, you could say two people doing it, means two people holding a knife at the same time, but later on, in our Perek, when we talk about this matter of two people Shechting, we're going to talk about that, in fact, means even if one of them does part, and the other does the other, it's kosher, by Kodshim, it's also kosher, but only by the Yevet. So what does Rish Lakish mean? The answer is Rish Lakish means like a sochtam. Yochol yehid posim and rabbanan. You would think that if you don't finish off the shchita, it should at least be posil d'rabbanan. Because why would you think that it should be posil d'rabbanan? Because again, you want to sprinkle the blood and you need to finish off the shchita. You need to cut through all the pipes in order to get the blood. That is why our Mishnah tells us that it's kosher with most of one by a brood, most of two by an animal, and then that means even the d'rabbanan it would be kosher. So the Gemara says, "Ma'acha, you have filled psul d'rabbanan like." Well, then in fact, this is no psul d'rabbanan. Lama li b'marif, and tackle why does somebody else finish off the mitzvah? In other words, the point is, Tosfos says, the question is, granted, of course, you should do the entire shita. You should cut through all the pipes, even by cholin. But here, it's a doichak after all. It means quickly handing the knife from the Kohen Gadol to somebody else and have him finishing the shita before it's too late. And therefore, so we shouldn't really do that. We shouldn't really require it to be done by somebody else if it wasn't even necessary, if even Dirabbanan there's no problem in not doing the entire pipe and doing only part of it, then we should have left well enough alone and said that it's fine that the Kohen Gadol did most of the shchita and you don't need any more. So, in fact, Tosfos says over there in Yoma that it makes it look as though the shechita was done by two. And we just said by kodshim, you're not supposed to do that. So you would think that you shouldn't do that. So one of them, why should you do it? And there's a mitzvah lamarik. Nevertheless, it is a mitzvah to complete the shechita, to do all of the, to cut through all the pipes. Rashi says for two reasons. Number one, first of all, like we've been saying all along, so you can get out as much blood as possible in order to do the shechita. Rashi brings another explanation because B'roi v'mahadras melech. But Rashi says that doesn't really work. Then in that case, we should say that by all the avodas of Yom Kippur. And we see that by Yom Kippur, we override B'roi v'mahadras melech and say that Dafka the Kohen Gadol has to do it all. So therefore, that's not really a good answer, says Rashi. Next, the Gemara continues. Amar of Shimon Lokesh Mishum Levi Sava. When we talk about, so now you have like this, you're doing shechita, you're cutting through the simanim. What part of the shechita, what part of that process is actually called the shechita? So, in other words, this is a concept that's brought in a few places in Shas. Yesh na l'shchita mitzchila v'ad soif, or ein na l'shchita ela l'soif. Do we say that the entire process of cutting the simanim is considered part of the shchita, or do we say that only when you reach the point of it being a valid shchita, at that moment a shchita has been accomplished, and everything that's until then is just kind of prerequisites for it and not? So the one says, Amar of Shimon Lokesh, Mishum Levi Sava, ein na l'shchita ela l'soif. The shechita takes place only at the end. So when you're doing up until that point, up until it's not considered a shechita until you reach that point. What is that relevant to? We're going to see. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yes, from the shechita, mitzvah of adsoi. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says the entire process is considered to be from beginning to end. So every part of the cutting is considered part of the shechita. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabba. Now let's clarify their machlokes. Everybody agrees that if a goy were to cut one simen, and we're going to learn later on in the perek that a goy's shchita is possible, the simen echad yisrael, and then a yid cut the second simen, sheep psula. Everybody would agree that it's a possible shchita. Shainasa, but ma'aseh tereicha b'yadav kechavim. Because after all, the goy did something to make it tereicha, because the fact is that we said before that if most of the windpipe or even a little bit of the esophagus is cut, then the animal is a trefa, and therefore, even if you're going to ignore the goy's part of the shchita, fine. In effect, you would consider so fine. It wasn't a goy; it was like a thorn or a splinter that cut through the simen that made a hole in the simen. But nevertheless, that's enough to make it trefa. So therefore, there's no question, fine, even if we don't consider the goy's action to be shchita, nevertheless, the fact remains that we have the windpipe has been cut, or the esophagus has been punctured, and therefore we're definitely going to say that that's a possible shchita. The Ola Sa'oif, on the other hand, continues Rava, when it comes to an Ola Sa'oif Nami, then there's no machlokas. That one simen is enough. Heichad the Moloch, simen echad the mata, the simen echad the maila. Now, on the other hand, though, if he were to do the malika of a bird, as we've learned in Masechta Zevachim, by an Ola Sa'oif, the avoda of it has to be done on the top half of the Mizdeah, and by a chata Sa'oif on the bottom half. So if you were to do the malika by an Ola Sa'oif, we'd have to cut through both simonim. If you did one simon on the bottom half of the mizeh, below the chuta sikra, the simon echad the maila, and one then the second simon above it, also the psula that it would definitely possible. You're going to say ain't of a shchita el of a soif, but nevertheless, the fact is here the cutting through of the two simonim is in fact necessary for the malika. Shari also the ma'isa chata sa'oif l'mata. Because at this point that he's done, in effect, what he's done is he's treated like a chata sa'oif and done it on the bottom half of the mizdeach. Because a chata sa'oif needs only one simen cut through, and therefore there's no question if he does it on the bottom, then he's already done there what has to be done for a chatas, and therefore it would be possible as an oil. So there also the question of yesh na l'shchita mitzvah v'ad soif, or ein shchita elo l'vasoif, or ein l'shchita elo l'vasoif, is not going to be relevant, says Rava. Loy nechlaku elch v'en sheshachat simen echad b'chut, v'simen echad b'tzmin. The machlokas would be, for example, if he took an ola sa'oif and shechted one simen of it outside the azara, and then did the other simen inside. So now bringing korbanos outside the azara, as we know, makes a person high of karis. And as we learned in Zvachim, even though oila sa'if is supposed to be killed by malika, nevertheless shechting it outside the azara also makes a person high of karis, but not if he does malika out there, because malika by definition is only in the bismikdash. So therefore, so Rashi explains, we're talking about you have a brood of a korban, you did one simen outside the azara, and now you did the other simen inside. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the entire process is considered part of the shechita, mechayev, then he's going to be chayev for doing the one simen outside. Yes, that's not yet what you need for the full process of the oila sa'if, because for an oila sa'if you need both simonim. Nevertheless, that's enough to make him chayev partis, because that part itself is part of the shechita. According to the Shlokish, the Shlita applies only at the end. So what he did outside the Azara, because now he did it inside the Azara. It won't be a kosher korban because he did Shlita rather than Malika, but nevertheless, he won't be Chayiv Koris for it. That's the point of Rashi. We're talking about a brood of Kodshim that he did that one Bachutz, one Mifnim. Tosfos though has some difficulty with that. And the fact is, you're not chayiv from Malika outside the Azara, only Shchita, and here we did a proper Shchita outside, because by a brood, all you need is one simen. So therefore, of course, he should be chayiv Koris for it, because he already did a valid Shchita outside the Azara of a brood of Kodshim. And then some other questions Tosfos has. So Tosfos says, no, we're not talking about a brood here. We're talking about an animal. We're talking about an animal of Kodshim. So what we're saying is that he shechted one simen outside and then brought it inside and shechted the other simen. So we're going to say that in fact he is chayev. So now we're going to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, they would argue whether he's chayav koris or not. So that would be enough for minute. So that would be an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, says Rabba. However, Amalei Rabba Bar Shimon, but Rabba Bar Shimon says to Rabba, Marlei Amar Hachi, you should know, our Rebbe did not explain the way you did. And the Gemara interjects to Manu, who was their Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef. The Rabbi Yosef explained it differently in a way that doesn't fit with what you're saying, Rava. Because Rabbi Yosef says, Eichad shochat simen echad b'chutz v'simen echad b'fnim nami posel. If he shechted one simen outside and one simen inside, then definitely it would be posel according to everybody. According to the because chutz chutz. So according to Rashi, what we mean is not just posel. What we mean is, in other words, that Tosfos points out Rabbi Yosef's posel would actually mean chayav koris. So he would for sure have been over on Shchut Echutz. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about a brood, and according to Tosfos, we're talking even about an animal. Here we're talking particularly about a brood, Shari Osa, but Maisa, Chatas Echutz. Because after all, again, he did what's valid for a Chatas Echutz outside the Azara. For a Chatas Echutz, all you need is one simen, and he did it outside the Azara. Fine, it's not a Malika either, because he did Shchita, so it won't be, but nevertheless, he's still Chayiv Koris, because Shchita of a brood outside, of a brood of Kodshim outside the Azara, also makes him Chayiv as we learned in Zvachim. So therefore, so Rabbi Rashini says, don't tell me, Rubber, that if he shechted it in, if he shechted one simon outside and then brought it in and shechted the other one, then Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would argue whether he's chayiv koris. Rabbi Yosef clearly says that he is chayiv koris regardless. Lo nechelku, continues Rabbi Yosef, what is the case where Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue? He shechted a minority of the simonim outside, and then he finished the majority inside. So if you say the entire process is considered part of the shechita, then he should be chayiv, because fine, what he did outside is not yet a valid shechita. It's only the minority of the simonim, but nevertheless, it would still be chayiv because he did a portion of the shechita outside, and it's all called part of the shechita. Whereas according to Rish Lakish, that the shchita is only the end. When the chayiv is not going to be chayiv, it's put their foot because what he did outside the azara doesn't count at all. Tosfos points out that wait a minute, we're going to learn at the end of our parak, we're going to have a case where a person shechts. You have a case where a person shechts on Shabbos and having chatoi, and it was a shame of a azara, and it was a korban outside the azara. So he has many chatois, and the Gemara mentions over there you have details over there of how much of the shchita was done outside to make machaya. Then it comes out from the discussion over there that And only by Bud do we even have this din, because again, only when you cut through the majority of the simon, only then have you reached the point of a valid shtickler. So the point is, it comes out from the discussion over there, with other korbanos. In fact, as soon as he sheds one simon for Avodah Zarah, he would have been made to osir, and it wouldn't be shchutei chutz anymore. But if we're telling you over here that by an animal it can be chayav by one simon, then the Mishnah could have told us a case like that over there. And then Tosfos says because the only reason he's chayav for one simon over here is because he finished the second one inside. There we're talking about there the Gemara brings up a case where he sheds this animal that should have been a korban for Hashem, and instead he sheds it as a korban for Avodah Zarah. It becomes already also by the first simon, so the fact that he cuts the second simon later on is not significant. It's anyway already possible as a korban. In any case, so that would be the case where Rabbi Yosef says that Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish argue, not like Rava had said, where he shefted one complete simon b'chutz and the other one b'fnim, but rather where he did the minority of one simon b'chutz and the rest of it b'fnim. The Gemara says, must be Rav Zeira. Well, then Rav Zeira says, I have a contradiction. We learn in the Mishnah and Masech Tepara, everybody who's involved in preparing the Parah Adoma, from beginning to end, they become Tameh and their clothing becomes Tameh, as we have in Parshas Kukas, and also all those people, all of them are going to pass all the Parah Adoma if they do other Malacha while they're doing it. Rashi points out, based on Sifri, that we learn from the Pesukim that everybody who's involved, the one who shechts it, the one who burns it, the one who throws in the eitz eres and ezev and so forth, so it means that everybody is requiring kibbutz v'radim. And any of them, none of them are allowed to be doing other malacha while they're preparing the Parah Adoma, because again, the Sifri learns it from Pesukim, so any of these people who are involved with the Parah Adoma, if they do another Malacha, they will also pass all the Parah Adoma. It's called Hesach Hadas. It's actually a machloikas, the Rambam and the Raibet in a different context, whether the Pesul is just Hesach Hadas or whether it's that Malacha itself, whether there's a specific Pesul for Malacha, even if there was no Hesach Hadas. Whatever the case. What happens, on the other hand, if the Parah Adoma became possible during the Shechita? So it can mean, in other words, the Shechita was done improperly. Or Tosfos says it can also mean, like we just said, somebody else did Malacha at the same time or whatever and made it possible that way. So in other words, we can be talking about something that's a general psul by Shechita of all animals, or we can be talking about a psul that's specific to the Parah Adoma. Whatever the case, if there was a psul, everybody who was involved with it, whether before it became possible or afterwards, ain't a matamah. It's not matamah then, because only a proper parah adoma is matamah people. It actually points out that if they actually touch it, if they're going to be tamay for a different reason anyhow, because if it became nevela, then anyhow they're going to become tamay when they touch it. So we mean, for example, Rashi says they gather up the ashes or burned it without touching it or whatever, or even he touched it, let's say using a stick or something, which is not going to become tamay from that. So then those people are not matamah begotten, because only a kosher parah adoma that makes them and their clothing tamay. Bahaza also. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues. If it became possible during the Hazar, so for example, he didn't do the Hazaris properly, or he did Malacha during the Hazaris, so whatever, then it depends. Kodim Sula Matamim Begadim. If anybody who was involved with the Parah Adoma up to that point is going to be Matamim Begadim, if up to that point it was Kodim, La'ach Psula, any Matamim Begadim, as opposed to anything that happens after that Psul happened, then the people who are involved with it from then on are not going to be Matamim Begadim. So that's the Mishnah. Says Rav Zeira, v'yamet yeshana shchita v'tchilav adsoif. If you're going to tell me that the entire process of shchita is considered shchita, and you're telling me the Mishnah is saying that if it became possible, namely, for example, it became a nevela, or as Rav Benatam is saying in Tosfos, that you did some other malacha with it at the same time as well. Anyway, if you're going to tell me that the whole thing is considered shchita v'tchilav adsoif, like Rav Yochanan says, liflagnami v'shchitasa, then there should be a distinction drawn within the shchita itself. The same way as we're drawing a distinction between if there was a psul at the beginning during the shchita or later on at the time of the sprinkling, we should draw a distinction between the shchita itself. If there was a psul at the beginning of the Shechita, Kodim Sula Matamim Godim, Lachon Sula, Ena Matamim Godim, then it should be Matamim, only the people up to that point, and not afterwards. So if you say Ena L'Shechita Elo L'Soif, then fine, you're going to say the fact is it turned out to be an improper Shechita, only the last moment of the Shechita, when the Shechita is fully accomplished, is it considered a valid Shechita, up to that point, and in this case it's not, because it was Nevela, or it was Malacha, or whatever, and therefore they're not Matamim Godim, even the people who were touching the Parah Adumah before that point of the Shechita was reached. But if you're going to tell me that yesh no shchita mitchil of absoyt, then we should say, if during the shchita itself, you have the beginning of the shchita was done properly, if somebody touched it, he should still be tamim godim, and only if he touched it later on, after the shchita became nevela, or malacha, or became possible by malacha, or whatever, only then should we say that he's not tamim godim anymore. And the Mishnah is not making any such distinction. Omar Rava, so Rava says, that's not a question. Skalkala shchita kahamra, you're bringing from a case where the shchita was ruined? That's different. Shiny hosam. The reason why it's different over there is because it turns out retroactively that it wasn't a shchita at all. So in other words, exactly that if by the end of the shchita it became nevela, then it turns out that even the beginning of it was not considered a shchita. Now again, Rashi is saying psul over here was that it became nevela. So we show him explain according to Rashi. Rashi would say that if the psul was because of malacha, we would not in fact say that. We would in fact say whatever part of the shchita was done up until that point would in fact be kosher and would be considered in the time of the Godin, but Tosfos says that not, and the precisely because then you still have the question, and therefore so no, even if it became possible because of Malacha, nevertheless the same rule would still apply. That means a glaying milsul mafreya. It turns out retroactively that it wasn't a kosher shchita. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying yeshna l'shchita mitchilah b'atzoif. When you wind up with a kosher shchita at the end, and the question is, was the beginning of it also considered? But here you wound up with a possible shchita. Sure, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to say that they would say yeshna l'shchita mitchilah b'atzoif. So Omar Rava, e kashli ha kashli. However, Rava says there is a question that you can ask from this Mishnah. If there's a question, it's not going to be Rav Zera's question, but rather this is the question we can ask. Lamanda Omar in the shchita elul v'soif. The question would be according to Rav Yochanan that only the end of the shchita is considered according to the Shlokish that only the end of the shchita is considered a valid shchita. Litvak b'chashed of the parah, then the Mishnah should be drawing a distinction. And we did a kosher parah adroba. Like this, the Mishnah is drawing a distinction between whether it was kosher or whether it was possible when the people on the Tamid got him and when not. But if you're going to say that yes, in the Shchita Elul V'Soif, like Rish Lakish, then the Mishnah could have drawn a distinction within the case of a kosher parah adroba. For example, two people shechted it. We said before that by Kodshin, you're not supposed to have two people shechted it, but fine. Rava is assuming that the Parah Adumah for this purpose is not considered kodshim. So it's a gavra kama loy matama. You should say the first person doesn't become tameh, the gavra basra matama, and only the second one would because he's the one who makes it a proper shchita. So if you say yeshna l'shchita mitzvah about soyis, then even the first one is doing something which eventually is going to result in a kosher shchita. Therefore, he's matama begodim as well. But if you tell me that in l'shchita elav soyis like Rish Lakish, why would the Mishnah should have drawn for us a case where two people shech, then the first one is not matama begodim and the second one is? Omer Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef answers, no. You're talking about two people shechting one korban. Bar minei da'ahu. Never mind that. The Mishnah can't mention such a case. The Tanenim, because we learned before. And Omer Aleph, we said, from the word tizvahu, shalo yu shnayim shechting zevachapa. The two people should not be shechting one korban. Tizvahu, we break down to tizvahu. So it means that so tizvach means shalo yushnayim shechting zevachachad. The word tizvach, you singular should shech, meaning you can't have two people shechting the same korban. Tizvachuhu, and when it says tizvachuhu, where again you're missing the vav over there, and therefore when we read tizvachehu, shalo yehei echad shechet shnei zvachim. That means that one person should not be shechting two korbanos. Well, I'm a kahana tizvachehu, because of kahana clarified. It's written in the Torah in a way that can be read tizvachehu. You should shech it, meaning not that you should shech the two of them together. So you can't have two people shechting a korban. Now, Tosfos points out it would be kosher b'diyeva. But nevertheless, since the chachila it's usur, therefore the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah would have no reason. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef is saying the Mishnah would have no reason to mention such a case. However, Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, that answer doesn't really seem to work. Lav itzman Allah, wasn't there said about it, about that, about this b'risa? Amar Rabbi Machana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. This that we're saying that two people cannot share one korban is only according to the laws of Reb Shimon Stimasa. Stimasa means the one we often have Stam Mishnayas and Stam Brises according to him. So this Brises, Stam Brises, there's no author attached to it, but nevertheless, this Brises that says Tifach, that only one person can share, is only, at least the Chachila, is only according to the laws of Reb Shimon. Abacham, Shnaim, Shif, and Zevachacham, but Chacham say two people could share with one korban together. How does Rabbi Yochanan know this? It actually says that Rabbi Yochanan looked this from his Rebbe, from his Rebbe, and then itself. So the Mishnah should very well have mentioned the case where two people are shechting. If you say Ein l'shchita el l'vasoy, because Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said you can't have two people shechting, but the other Chachamim disagree with him. And Ulu Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Nami, and even according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Litzloig Veneshachat Chag Gaber B'Shnei Sudrin. You could still draw a distinction even with one person. What happens, for example, he starts shechting, wearing one turban, and then in the middle of the shechita, somebody else takes the turban off him and wraps him in another one, and then he completes the shechita. Now we're saying the person who does the shechita, he becomes tamei and his clothing become tamei. To eat the sudar camel in the time of the sudar basra in the time. There, the first scarf, the first turban would not become tamei if you say ainul shchita el vasoy. Only the second one would, because because that's when he completed the shchita. So therefore, even appointed of Elazar Reb Shimon, the Mishnah could have drawn for us a case. Even appointed him, you can have two people shechting one animal of kodshim, and the par adama for this purpose is considered kodshim, but you can still have different and change his clothing in the middle of the shchita. So Ella, the psula de para kamayri, obviously the answer is that the Mishnah is only talking about cases where the para aduma itself became puzzle and drawing distinctions there when the people are tame and not. The Mishnah is not talking about cases where the para was completely kosher. So therefore, the Mishnah is b'chalal not addressing this question of yeshna v'shchita mitzchila v'adsoif or ain't the shchita el v'soif. So rather, in other words, don't use Rabbi Yosef's answer that it means because two people can't share. The answer is the Mishnah just wants to tell us what are the cases where the parah aduma becomes possible and the people are and aren't going to be metamei begadim. The Mishnah is not addressing the case where it remained kosher, and the Mishnah is not getting into this question of yeshna l'shchita mitzchila v'adsoif or ain't the shchita el v'soif. So there is no proof from this Mishnah one way or the other. So we'll continue next year. We'll continue on the next daf, Be'ez Hashem. We'll continue discussing this point about yeshna l'shchinim with the shchita mitzchila v'adsoif, ve'ena l'shchita el v'soif, and talk about various implications of it in various areas of halacha.